Good morning. Is it a good morning? Oh, you're just playing me. Is it really a good morning? Is this the day that the Lord has made? I will rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning. Oh, can you give my hand clap of praise just because this? Okay. All right, I'm just checking. Good to be before you today. Scripture comes out of, it's not there anymore, Genesis 39, if you have your Bibles with you today. If not, look on with your neighbor. If you got one of these electronic things or whatever, then look at Genesis chapter 38. Verses 1 through 6. Genesis chapter 38, verses 1 through 6. When you get there, say amen. Amen. If you're still flipping pages, I'll wait another 30 seconds. If you haven't gotten to it by now, stop being proud. Look at the table of contents. It's the first book. Genesis chapter 39. The title of this message is "And One." And one. Do I have any basketball players in the house? Anybody play basketball? I got a couple basketball players. All right, got some basketball players in the house. All right. And one is a basketball term. You'll hear commentators say it. It's when the person drives to the hole and they make the shot, and they're fouled in the act of shooting, and the ball still goes in, and the commentators will say, "And one," meaning something extra is on the way, meaning despite the fact that the defender fouled them and impeded their progress, they still scored, still made the shot, and they got something else coming on the way. And one. They get fouled and they still manage the score. And one. In fact, some of the young guys I play with, since we don't have commentators when we do our pickup games, when they drive to the hole and make a shot, even before they make it, they just yell, "And one." Sometimes when they got a defender, a buster in front of them, you know, that's a guy that don't defend too well or whatever, and he's standing in front of them, and they just drive by him. An "and one" move is a move that makes the enemy or your opponent look stupid. And one. Let me give you some background on this particular passage of Scripture, because I believe Von Forrest, we want to have an "and one" season. Even though things might be lined up against us, even though our defense looks pretty tough, I think we can still step in front of the enemy's face and still score and still be victorious and then tell them in the wake of all of that, "And one," which means we got something better even on the way for free. "And one" moment. Do you believe that? If he did it for Joseph, I believe he will do it for us. Background. Joseph has dreams. God gives him a vision of his future, a dream that looked bright, a dream that he would become the head and not the tail. But after the dream came heartache, disappointment, and pain. Let's take a look at verse 1. I'll read. "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there," which means he was brought down to a place that was uncomfortable, unfamiliar, a place of heartache and disappointment. a place where his dreams looked to be dashed. Given a job that didn't appear to be able to take him anywhere. Disappointment. You know, there's nothing in his dream that God gave him about the disappointment that he was getting ready to face. If you know anything about the story of Joseph, there was nothing in the story that said anything that he would be working in this dead-end job with Potiphar. There was nothing in the dream that said he would be doing some jail time. Anybody know about your dreams and your plans for your life, and things just happened to happen to you that weren't in your plans? The unemployment, not in the plan. Hurt and disappointment, not in the plan. People turning their back on you. Didn't see that one coming, did you? Divorce and separation. Didn't expect that. In debt up to your eyeballs, perhaps. That wasn't on the agenda. Anybody know anything about things happening in your life that were not according to plan? Maybe the reason why God didn't put those things in Joseph's dream is because God wants us to focus on the promise and not the problem. Focusing on what he promises us and not on the problem in front of us. I'm talking and one, because a true baller doesn't worry about the defense that's in front of him. His intent is to make it to the goal anyway. Can I get an amen? Verse 2. You can put it up. Even though things were not happening the way he wanted them in verse 1, the way he had planned, there was a verse 2. And it opens up with the word and. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And. Put the next part up, if you would, please. And, conjunction, junction, what's your function? Anybody remember that? Did I just date myself? Schoolhouse Rock, is that what that was? And is an additive. It's a conjunction. You can read it there. Some of you know how to read. Amen. It's used to connect words of the same part of speech, of clauses or sentences that are to be taken jointly together, together with, or along with, or in addition to. It's used to introduce an additional comment or interjection. It means that something else is coming behind this. Something extra is with me. I know verse 1 looked real bad for Joseph, but that was the end of the story. There's a conjunction that's associated with verse 1, and it comes in verse 2. And when he went down to that job, when he went down to Egypt, when he was in bondage, when he wasn't in his best season, he was not in that season alone. Anybody here know you're not in this thing alone? Because God was with him. God was with him on his job. God was with him on his situation. God was with him. He was not alone. He was having an and one moment. Because even in that condition, the word of God says he still prospered. Things were still going in his favor. He was still able to make do and have victory, even though he was in an unpleasant place. Wow. Anybody been in an unpleasant place? But God still blesses in that place. That's an and one moment. Despite what the enemy brings against you, you still have victory and one. And here's a point that I want to make. If God is with you, it really doesn't matter where you are. And where you are doesn't disqualify you from God being with you and blessing you in that place or situation that you're in. That's good news. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer of his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. So in verse 3, we see that Potiphar, who was not a believer, saw something in him that was different. So that's very interesting. Joseph goes to his job each and every day, and Potiphar, an unbeliever, sees him. And he starts to believe because he sees that there's something different about Joseph. Here's how I know when God is with somebody. Because even in an uncomfortable season, people ought to still be able to see something in you. People should still be able to see you having victory in your situation. People ought to still be able to see things are working in your favor because God is with you. Let me tell you how this works. If you're running your house and God is with you, if you're going to your job and God is with you, if you have to go to school and God is with you, then your family, your relatives, your employers, your co-workers, your teachers, your principals, your classmates ought to see something different about you. They ought to see that God is with you. You can't be bringing D's up in here and talking about God is with me. You ought to be running your house like God is with you, doing your schoolwork like God is with you, doing your homework like God is with you, running your relationships like God is with you, doing your job like God is with you. When you get to work, can people tell that he's with you? Or did you come to work with Grimace and the Hamburglar and the French fry guys, and you get there and the only thing missing is the orange afro because you're getting ready to clown? Who'd you go there with? Who's with you? Verse 4. Joseph found grace, and he just continued to serve his master and employer. And he didn't say anything in here that he complained. He just served. One thing about basketball players, we're my basketball players again. One thing about basketball players, he comes on Monday nights. I might not be there Monday. I'm not sure. I got something new coming, and so I'll let you know. Just holler at me. But that's one of my brothers right there that plays basketball with us. Amen. One thing I don't like when we got out there playing basketball, guys that like to whine all the time. Go to the hole and they foul. Every move is a foul. Even when they don't get fouled, foul. Dribbling the ball and roll off the leg out of bounds. Ain't nobody touch a foul. Doesn't that bother you? Always. Too many Christians cry foul. Too many times we cry foul, foul, foul. I believe that God is looking for a true baller. Somebody that doesn't cry foul all the time. Somebody that says, in spite of the foul, in spite of the offense, I'm still going to drive to the hole and score. And when you foul me, I just say and one, because more is on the way. I care about you getting fouled, I get fouled too. When you're living this Christian life, you got to expect, you just think you're just gonna float through the hole and just finger roll? I'm old. I'm not as athletic as I was before. If I see you going through the hole, I'm going to foul you. Because if I foul you, you might think twice before you go there again. But a true baller trusts in his skills and in his talents. And he's going to go through it anyway. And when he gets through making you look silly, he might say to you, and one. I wonder. Notice, this is not the job that he expected to be in. It's not the job that he was being trained for. And some of us are going to get up and go to work tomorrow to jobs and classes that we may not like. didn't expect to be at. We might be around people that we don't even like, people that are working against us. And if you show up for work without Jesus, it's going to be real hard for you to have an and one moment on your job. And since this is resurrection season, and we want to bring as many people into the house of God, one place that you can invite somebody to come to your church is on your job. In fact, that's how I got here in the first place. Some little quirky guy with glasses, I can talk about him because he's not here anymore, came to me, we were on the same job, and he said, Chuck, I'd like to invite you to my church. And I went to his church. But let me tell you something. If he didn't have Jesus on his job with him, there's no way I want to go to his church if he's acting crazy on his job. So when you go to work on Monday, when you go to school on Monday, don't go by yourself. Take him with you so that somebody else can see him in you. And they might come here with you to worship and praise the Most High God in this place. You can clap if you want to. Hey, man, it's not for me, it's for him. Somebody got started, but they didn't have enough with you. Just say and one. Just go there, say and one. I'm the only one clapping. I don't want to. Just going on. If you're the only one clapping, if you're the only one giving praise, it ain't for me, it's for him. If you're the only one clapping, just keep on clapping. And if nobody wants to clap around, you just say, and one. I'm going to get something out of this. Say amen. Now, this thing has a timer on it. And I got to punch in my passcode again in order to get back to it. My bad. And one. Verse 4, Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put in his hand. When God is with you, grace and favor, goodness and mercy will follow you. Now, if he did that for Joseph, what do you think could happen for us if God was with us where we go? I wonder what would happen if we went to church and God was with us. I don't want to come to church to find God. I want to come to church and have him already with me, because somebody else might find him through me. And so, see, I don't want to wait and try to pick up God when I get here. I want to bring him with me before I get here. So if somebody looks at me crazy, somebody doesn't shake my hand, somebody wants to complain about me, somebody doesn't want to greet me, I can just go it on and press forward and press through and shake their hand and greet them anyway. And under my breath say, and one. Verse 5. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Wow. God's blessing was over everything that this Egyptian had. That sounds crazy. Application for today. That guy, Potiphar, put everything in Joseph's hands, and God blessed Potiphar and his house on purpose for Joseph's sake. Here's how I know when people come to their jobs, when people come to church, when people do things and God is with them. Because it won't take long for God to start to bless the things that you are associated with on purpose. Is the place that you work at blessed because you bring God in it? I can tell when somebody brings God to their workplace, because the workplace starts to get blessed on purpose. This is the same God There is no change here. If he did it for Joseph, he'll do it for us. If you bring God into your situation, he will start to bless that place on purpose for your sake. Anybody want to get blessed on purpose? Which means when you get blessed on purpose, it's the intent of the Almighty God to bless your socks off. It's the place you work at blessed because you bring God into it. It's the church blessed because you bring God into it. If we bring God into this place, he'll start to bless it on purpose. God blessed this man's house on purpose, and God wants to bless your house on purpose. He wants to bless your job on purpose for your sake, because he wants folks to know that you're rolling with the Most High God. Blessed on purpose, blessed in the house, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed when we come and when we go. And Vaughn Forrest, God bless you, we are experiencing an and-one season. Because even though there may be some things lined up against us, I still see us experiencing some good things around here. And the devil can't stop this. And you can tell him, and-one. Got a little debt up to our eyeballs. That's all right. And-one. Still got a choir that's starting to bust out at the seams. You can just tell the devil, and one. Nobody expects you to have a praise in this place. Nobody expects you to overcome in this place. But I don't care how the defense and the enemy lines up against this place, we can still score, and we can make the devil look silly and tell him, and one, because more is on the way. And one. But let me tell you something. You want to kill a revival? You want to kill a revival? Try to do this thing without him. Try to do this thing without God. Try to do this thing on your own. And the enemy has the victory, not God. I just want to be in a place that wherever I go, whatever I'm doing, I'm never alone. He's with me. Because I want to be able to tell the enemy and my haters, and one, which means there's more on the way. Verse 6. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. I love verse 6. He left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he didn't even know what he had. Wow. Because of Joseph's work, he put him in charge of everything. And Potiphar didn't have to worry about anything. He didn't even know what he had, except what he was going to eat. He let Joseph open and close the shop and didn't worry about him because he trusted him and he saw the results because God was with him. Wait a minute. He only got blessed when he put Joseph in charge of the house. I just said something. You see, let me tell you about Joseph in the Bible. Joseph is a type of Christ. He's a representation of Christ as the suffering Savior, Messiah ben Joseph. But he's just a type of Christ. Now, if I needed somebody to do a job for me, who do you think I'm going to hire? Joseph. That's a no-brainer. Because if I hire Joseph, and I put him in charge, I'm going to get blessed. My business is going to get blessed. My house is going to get blessed on purpose because of Joseph. Application for today. Work the word. Joseph is a type of Christ. And we can't hire Joseph because Joseph's not here. But there is somebody else who's not a type of Christ. He is the Christ. He's not make-believe. He's not a representation or a symbol of Christ. He's the real deal. And if Potiphar put Joseph in charge of his entire house and the entire house got blessed, what do you think happens when you allow Jesus the Christ, the real deal, the Holy One, the only one, run your life? the more you release to him, the more you give to him, the more control you give Christ, the more he will bless you on purpose. And you can stop worrying about some things. You can stop tripping about some things. Because if Jesus is running your house, you can rest at night. I know I'm going to sleep tonight. I don't need Sominex. I got Jesus. And as long as he's running the house, I got peace like a river. Don't you want to have those kind of results in your life? And yet I still find in my own life, there's still some pockets, some areas of resistance where Chuck wants to have control rather than him. Don't you want to surrender and give your all to the one who owns it all, created us all? Not a type of Christ, the real thing. So you can have an and-one moment in your life. Well, I think that's it. Invitation time. That's it. Oh, wait a minute. Let me give you some last points. Oh, you can put the slide up. No matter what your job or situation, take God with you. Some of you are going to go to jobs tomorrow. Some of you might have to go tonight. Some of you are going to go to jobs tomorrow, and you don't want to be there. That's not the job you went to school for. That's not what you expected to be doing. I don't care if you're flipping fries at McDonald's. That might not be the thing that you wanted to do or expected to do. But I guarantee you, if you go there with God, he'll bless you in that place. And every job that Joseph had was a stepping stone to something greater. That just might be your stepping stone for something greater. And until you get, oh, that's my thing ringing here telling me that I've been up here for 25 minutes, and so it's time to leave. Take God with you. Hey, what about this? What if you took God with you when you have conversations with people? What if you took God with you when you went home after you leave church tonight? What if you took God with you? Don't do this thing on your own. Next point. If God is with you, others will see it. That's the best evangelism you can have. Now, I want you here at 3:30 this afternoon, too. But that's the best evangelism you can have right there. Why don't you demonstrate God being with you in your life? Next point. You don't have to believe me. You can look at the word. He wants to bless us on purpose. And the last point, you can relax if Jesus is running things. I'm tired of trying to do this on my own. Let's just relax and let God. Now, invitation time. If you're here and you have never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to come up to the altar. The ministers will be up here. You can come talk to me, and that's fine. Jesus is a basketball fan, I believe, because one of these and one move is a move that makes the enemy look crazy. And this is move that that the young guys do. I can't remember. Maybe my ballers can tell me what it's called. It's a move where you got the ball and you come over here and the defender kind of goes over there. And then, what's it called? Crossover. Yeah. The crossover move. Amen. That's when you got the defender going, you got your opponent going one way, and then you yo-yo it back over to the other way, and they call it a crossover move. I invite you to make a crossover move today, because the enemy expects you to go back home broken, busted. The enemy expects you to be disappointed and sad and broken down. The enemy expects you to be defeated. But if you throw that crossover move and you put the cross in front of it, you'll go in another direction. And then when you cross them over, you can say, and one. So if you haven't experienced a crossover move today, I invite you to come. Come talk to me. Come share that decision with us today. And some of us might just need to bust a move and get out of our chair and come up to the altar and just tell God, My bad, because I've been doing this on my own. Oh, my bad, because there's still some areas in my life that I have not invited you in. But we're going to make a commitment today. By coming up here and releasing that thing and letting you have full control. Some of us really do have to go to some terrible jobs on Monday. But don't you want to do it with him? So that he'll bless you. And maybe somebody's here and you just want me to lay hands on you and just pray for you. I'll stand here and give you a word, because somebody might be saying, Minister Chuck, how do you do that? How do I really put him in my life? I got a secret for you. Just trust him. Just let go. And I'll pray for you. God bless you. God bless you today. Won't you come?